Survivors ready.
Go!
Why, hello. Welcome to the Survivors Ready podcast. We're a man down this week.
Yeah, Camden's dead.
Camden died. Nah, because of recording times and all that sort of stuff going on, we couldn't get all three of us together for this episode, but that's all good. Me and Connor got it.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure we had an episode out to post for this Thursday coming up, which is going to be tomorrow, because tonight is the premiere of season 42 of Survivor. So I'm very excited. I mean, anytime there's a new season, I'm always excited. And we're going to do a little preseason episode here, do a little predictions, talk about what we're expecting here. And obviously this will come out tomorrow. So it'll be technically not a preseason when this comes out, but you'll get the point. When we make our predictions and then we're already all wrong by tomorrow, I think it'll be hilarious. But, you know, with the preseason stuff, you can never really be on point. I think you can just shoot in the dark, and then it would be cool if you're right. And then going forward every week, next week we'll have a really cool episode planned where I don't want to spoil it, but we got a really cool episode planned with what we're going to be doing. And then we're going to make our winner picks based off of the premiere episode. So we're going to do winner picks today. And then we're going to do more in-depth winner picks that we're going to lock in. And then we'll go every week. We'll kind of just assess with the new episode that came out and then see where we're at. So that'll be cool, especially since we're posting these on Thursdays. It'll line up really well. Yeah. So what do we think here? Would you like to start us off, Pele?
I think with all that we've seen preseason-wise, it's going to be a really interesting cast. Of course, every season it's hard to gauge whether or not it's going to be a good one until we at least see the premiere. So I feel like you said, it's going to be an easier way to lock it in after we watch tonight's episode. But I'm going to go with who I think is like a pretty solid pick for a lot of people right now. I'm going to go with Jonathan Young. He's the surfer guy.
I almost knew that you were going to pick him. he seemed like your pick.
Yeah.
Just by looking at him.
I mean, come on. The guy overall looks like he's not only going to be great in challenges, but as long as he's able to keep his threat level low and able to manage his position in the social game and not position himself too high too soon, I definitely could see him going well into the merge. And I don't know. Maybe he could win the whole damn thing. We shall see.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good pick. I think that he has a really good shot of going far into the game. I think it's going to be really reliant on how well he manages that threat level and how good his social game is. It's hard to really gauge what these people are like going into these videos and stuff because it's not really the game. The only person that I really saw, because there were like these sneak preview videos that they posted on their YouTube, on the Survivor YouTube channel, where I saw, who was it? Let me look. It was one of the girls. It was Tori, and it showed a lot of her content. And I was like, okay, she seems to be pretty socially aware, so that's pretty cool. And then I also saw one with Zach, and he kind of reminds me of Ryan a little bit, where he's kind of like this, the skinny little like white guy with the jokes and everything. He's going to be really witty and put a lot of good banter out there. So I'm excited. And I believe they're on the same tribe, so I think that'll be cool. But with that being said, I think I will do my preseason pick for a winner. And that, my friend, is going to be Lindsay Dolowich. I think that's how you pronounce her name. Dolashwich or something like that. I think it's Dolowich. I could be wrong. Maybe, I don't know. But Lindsay is going to be my preseason pick. She is, I don't even know what the tribes are or anything, but she's 31. She's a business owner. She's very athletic and very seems to be socially aware. It seems that she is going to be a player who uses that to be the main front of her game, even though I think she could actually be really good in challenges, and I think that's going to be a good asset for her. It seems that the social game is her most focused aspect of the game, which, in my opinion, I think is the most important. Strategic stuff is always cool. Being good at challenges is always cool. But if you don't have good social connections, it's going to be hard to do well in the game. And I have, over time, realized how much I love social players. And I think that she could be a kingpin player in this game, especially just with everything that I see on her bio. So I'm liking her. I think I'm going to go with her for my preseason pick, even though I have no idea. Another dark horse I wanted to point out that I actually really like is Mike Turner.
Yes.
He's a retired firefighter guy. I really like him. He seems to have gotten in all these previews. I just keep seeing him, and he gets so much content. I'm like, he must be important, okay? Because they show him so much. And I like his story. He seems to be – and I think he's going to get underestimated for – like, I mean, he's not old, but he's an older player. And I think older players always get underestimated, and I think he – is the type of person to use that to his advantage. So I'm really excited to see him play as well. So that's a little bit of a dark horse pick. But for a first boot pick, I would like to say, I think Jackson Fox is going to be the first boot pick, or first boot pick, the first boot person. Just from literally everything I've seen, it just looks like he's not ready for this. I don't really know. There's not much to go on. It could literally go any way. You have no idea. There's three starting tribes, so it could be anything. But that's what I'm thinking so far from everything I've read.
That's the interesting part about all this, because I feel like in a normal two tribe start season, you know, it's much easier to gauge, because
right.
Half of the cast is safe after the first, you know, episode. But you know, when you're doing a three tribe to start, that's six person per tribe. Literally anybody, if you're unlucky enough to have like your preseason pick, or like even after this episode when we do our winner lock in choice, if that tribe goes to tribal council, unless you have an idol, literally anything can happen, because it is so easy to sway that vote in any sort of which way that could happen. It could benefit our pick, or it could send them home. It's really interesting. Before I go with my pick for the first boot, just for the record, Camden is going to go with Tori, the therapist.
Yeah.
Who
I was going to say, I think that's a great pick. She especially like I said, she has a video that shows her kind of like forming some relationships with people in her tribe. She seems very socially aware. Hopefully that doesn't come to bite her, because I think she knows how good she is at that. I wonder how fast it's going to be for other players to realize how good she is at that, because it looks like she's very easy to connect with. She understands situation. She's very situational. So I think that's a good pick. And we'll see if it works out for her.
Yeah, he goes on to say he feels like she will have a really good social game. The only worry about picking a girl is that they tend to be some of the first people voted out early in the game. So hopefully that doesn't happen. But she does seem like a super likable person, which all of that I totally, totally agree with. Tori could definitely go. Like, if she... Man, there wasn't a swap in 41, was there?
No, there wasn't.
There was only Shipwheel Island.
Yeah. I mean, depending on how the tribes fall out. But even then, the Green Tribe last season went down to two, and they still didn't do any swaps or anything. So, I don't know. I doubt that they'll do a swap in this season, which is something that we'll get into after we talk about the players, just the season as a whole.
For my first boot, I'm thinking Romeo Escobar. He just doesn't seem like he really fits in socially. Again, can't say this enough. This is purely based off of like preseason stuff. We haven't seen any actual gameplay yet. So for all we know, it could be completely opposite, but I could totally see Romeo being like that first, you know, easy vote for that, for whoever goes to tribal. I could definitely see that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree there. Yeah, it's like one of those things where, and then this is another, this is something I was thinking with last season. There's six people on a tribe, three guys, three girls. Whoever you vote off first, the other gender has the majority.
Hand. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you got to be smart with that, because that seems to be what happened with Yase last season. Mm-hmm. So you got to be really smart with who you decide to get rid of first. So if you're a girl, it might not even be beneficial for you to vote off another girl. So who knows? But yeah, so that's, I think, pretty much everything we could touch on with the players, because we don't know much other than that.
Yeah.
In terms of just the season as a whole, obviously I'm looking forward to it, because always look forward to a season of Survivor. I do think that it's just going to be 41 again. It seems like they're bringing pretty much everything back. I did see something in the first 4 minutes video where there's something that's going to happen right at the beginning where you can get an advantage across tribes, which I thought was a cool idea. So it's basically, I read the sign, and it was basically you stop here, grab your paddle or whatever, go back to your tribe, or you can wait and wait for the two people from the other two tribes, and then you guys can work together and get an advantage. So that's cool. I do like the idea of like the cross tribal stuff, like the summit stuff with like the wheel and stuff. I think that idea is cool to make relationships across tribes, especially because you're not doing a swap or anything. I just thought the wheel was just overdone last season. I think this is like a one-off thing will be really cool. Also, just because those summits didn't really ever pan out to do anything other than Shan and Liana's relationship, yeah. And those didn't matter at all. So there's
everything
that.
Else that we saw, like Deshaun and Evie, not necessarily the ship wheel, but the when they when Brad, Sydney, and Tiffany went to go get the tarp and all that jazz. Like there was so many,
yeah.
Like, inter-tribal.
Yeah, because if you you oversaturate it, none of those things are gonna work out.
Exactly.
That's the problem. And overall, I am not looking forward to them bringing the hourglass thing back, which it looks like they're going to do. So that's stupid. I don't think that worked, and I think everybody hated it. I think that was the biggest miss on 41. They're doing the idols thing again, which once again I think defeats the point of it being a hidden immunity idol if everybody knows what it is. So yeah, I think season 41 was pretty mid overall in terms of just like the season as a whole. I think the cast was pretty good. Over time, it seems like I get less and less on that cast, just of all the stuff that comes out about them afterwards. They were all good game players in terms of like they were all in the game and they all wanted to do stuff to win. But they, in terms of like people, a lot of them were big. Bitter. A lot of them were just a lot of them have their own issues, so there's that. So I'm hoping with 42 we can make up for that with some good decision making, I would say. Because once again, the cast makes up the season. Even though it's going to have the stuff that I didn't really like advantage wise and twist wise, as long as the players make it fun, I'm all right with it. So I don't know what your take is on that.
That can be, like, at the end of the day, in any of these reality shows, you know, as you and I both know very well with Big Brother, a cast can make or break a season. And I feel like the only reason 41 felt so fun in the moment, with like, week to week, was because the cast was so good. So, realistically speaking, it's all going to go up to whether or not the cast can execute on the game and whether or not they're given the right pieces to do what they can. Like you said, the hourglass is going to come back, and not excited at all. That means we're going to get like another cliffhanger ending for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like one of those things where it's just like, if you take that, if you're on Exile and you have that choice, why would you not pick it? Unless they change it somehow. If it's the same exact way as it was in 41, I just don't see any reason to not flip it. Even if you're not in danger, why do you not want safety ever? Like when it's freely given to you. Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's a flawed concept. But if saying this now, if somebody does be in that, if someone is in that situation and doesn't do it, I'm gonna be like, that doesn't mean that was a good twist. That just means that person was stupid for not doing it.
Yeah, I really, to be honest, what I'm hoping happens deep down is they're given that choice and then they don't do it. And then they're voted out next, just so the producers know this is really fucking stupid.
Yeah. I think they do know with all the outrage that the fan base has had because of 41. But the one thing I am looking forward to happen in the season, or I really hope to happen, is all three tribes actually like losing members instead of having one just win the whole way through, to actually change up the dynamic a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be really tough in a three-tribe season for all three tribes to lose. It seems like one tribe is always just the best in challenges. So, I mean, I get it, but I don't want it to happen again.
I mean, because I know we keep talking.
Think about it. Philippines
in 35, yeah, that was probably the most well-rounded one.
Well, healers won every single thing there.
No, they did.
Before they swapped.
Before the swap, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And then after the swap, one of the tribes never went to tribal, the one with the most healers on it. In Philippines, Tandang never went to tribal council before the merge, and Massing lost at all of them, and then Kalabal lost all of them. What else? Last season, Luwu tribe.
Yeah.
What else? Kageyan, Braun only lost because they kind of wanted to lose. So.
And in that one tribal, they lost two people.
Yeah. So it's tough. I understand that it happens, but I would love to have it be more even, so we don't have a one tribe that we never saw all season be the tribe that really controls everything. Bad from a narrative perspective, especially because they're not doing any swaps. In those other seasons, there were swaps and stuff. And in Philippines, back in those seasons, there was more focus on the tribes that didn't win, and you could see more stuff that happened. So it was fine. But now that there's so much stuff that they have to do on these seasons with these summit islands and exiles and all this other garbage, that they can't really focus on everybody. So as long as they lose, each tribe lose one or two member. Each tribe loses one or two members. I think it'll be good because then we can get enough content to actually understand from a narrative perspective what's going on. Because really, all that happened when we cut to Luwu was Deshaun was telling us everything that was happening. That's pretty much all that happened.
Yeah, and it really does. Like it just sucks to know that. I mean. To look at it from production's perspective there, like, I can't do anything but sympathize with them for the preseason stuff, because how are you going to build up Erica when she doesn't go to tribal? You know,
yeah.
Like, what are you supposed to do there? So hopefully...
I guess, have shown her more in the merge.
Yeah, no, 100% in the merge, she totally should have gotten more content. Oh man.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate because I don't hate her as a winner, and that's like the worst thing about it is I think she's a fine winner. I wouldn't say upper tier winner. I'd say she's fine. I don't think she's a bad winner.
Just like the season
winner.
Overall, I think she was very mid.
Right? Like I don't think she was bad, but it was also just like I still think even with all the things that the other players said, I still think Xander should have won. And I understand why he didn't. I think he should have. I think the other players are just wrong. just because of their perception of who he was, which is fine. Perception's reality, and that's how it make and that's what how it works, and that makes sense. I'm fine with that. But you know, I hope that doesn't happen again. If we get another repeat of that on this season, something like that, it's like, all right, you just did that type of editing. How about you show the winner this season?
Yeah, if we're all like, we want fucking High, or is that how you pronounce his name?
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. We want High to win, and then he gets all the way to Final Tribal Council, and then he's the zero vote finalist again. Yeah, I'd be upset.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean.
I guess a good question is like, are you more excited to see how this season plays out compared to seeing the rest of Blood versus Water Australia at Survivor?
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know, man. I mean, obviously I'm a fan of American Survivor more so, but I definitely invested in this season of Australian Survivor. For people who don't watch Australian Survivor, Blood versus Water is on right now. They're in the merge area. I believe there's 10 people left. I'm loving that season. That season's great. It feels like a good mix of old school and new school Survivor, which I love, because you start out with 24 people. So the tribal game is very important. When you start with these seasons with three tribes and you'll have 18 players, there's like five vote offs and you're at the merge. Like the beginning of the game does not matter. In seasons like this, before the merge, that's the majority of the game. That's where most of the game is played. And it's like all about like keeping your tribe strong, like who can you trust to like hang with, and it's a really good season. So I don't know. I'm obviously, I haven't seen anything of 42 yet, so I can't really say what I'm more excited for. I'm definitely excited for this season to start, but before it even started, I already just know that there's going to be stuff that I don't like, and there's nothing that I know that I will like yet. So I guess that knocks it down, and I'm more excited to keep watching Blood versus Water and see how that ends. Just because I know that 42 is just going to be a repeat of 41, which is different players, which is a shame. But you know, I mean, Australian Survivor is really good right now. There's a lot of good gameplay going on.
They also have a much cooler merge buff. I'm a bit biased because at this point I've seen almost all of Australian Survivor, but my God, those merge buffs look so fucking cool, man.
What is it? The black? Is it black or purple?
It's the black with the Let me pull up a picture for you, for your eyes only.
Did you watch the latest episodes yet?
I haven't seen 16 yet.
Okay. But yeah, no. This is like 15 was where I was like, all right, this is where the season's that was the turning point episode, I feel.
Yeah, for sure.
That's where it decided to go a certain way.
Is that the All-Stars buff, or I don't...
No, that's not right. Yeah. I think it's like black and purple because it's a mixture of blue and
but
red,
that
de- which makes
But that design
sense.
I just like cooler, like better overall compared to any. Like, that, come on. Like, it's so much better.
Yeah, anyways. I guess. I mean, I don't pay too much mind to that. I just paid mind to the colors, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I like purple ones. I like purple buffs. I like the black ones. I actually really like the teal-ish ones, like Takeo on Cambodia. I like that color a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the ones that are not like straight, like primary colors. They like kind of like switch into and do a little bit of a different shade, so that's cool. All right. What else are you looking forward to on this season? Season 42.
I just really hope that we get like a solid strategist that goes really, really far. Because overall, I mean, yeah, there was some good strategy in 41, but we didn't get like a true mastermind type of player. And I mean, the closest that we could have gotten is like either Ricard or Shannon. Sure, Ricard went really far. He went to five, right?
I wouldn't call him a strategist, really.
But that's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't call him a master strategist.
It's a stretch to do so, yeah.
I think he made a move. I think he made one move, and then he just won immunities. I think that's really all he did. With Shan, I don't really think she was a master strategist really at all, actually. I think that all she did was kind of just push for her way, and nobody really combated her on it for a long time. I think that was kind of what her thing was, which is good for her. It's that's what a lot of people that's fine.
What you hope for. Rob, the show.
Rob yeah. does that. Russell does that. That's a strategy for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a master. I think a master strategist is someone who is making moves and by convincing other people to do stuff for them or convincing people that another move is more beneficial for them and putting ideas in people's minds or putting seeds in people's minds to do stuff. I think that makes you a master strategist. And I would love to see something like that in this game. And it looks like we got a lot of cool social players this season. So I think it's definitely possible. Now, I would love that. I hope that stuff would outweigh all the bad advantages that are definitely coming our way this season.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm hoping. I'm hoping we can end up with some just great gameplay overall. And yeah, that's all I really want out of this season, because I know, like we said at the top, it's gonna be 41 again, just with a new set of faces, and maybe with that in mind, our expectations are a little more tempered, because obviously going into 41, it had been such a long stretch without Survivor, so we really didn't know what we're getting. So now it's kind of the opposite. We've had a little bit of time to adjust with different versions. I've watched a lot of different versions of Survivor between the finale of 41 and now. So I have a lot of different things to gauge off of going into 42, which is 41 with new people. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited for it, but obviously going to temper my expectations with it. I don't want to get so overhyped for it and then get absolutely let down like I kind of was by the end of 41.
Yeah, this is the first time I feel going into a season I have to temper my expectations, because I mean, sure, they've always filmed seasons back to back and they've always done small things where it's just all right, well, we're going to do these same things because these are back-to-back seasons. Makes sense, right? But that feels the overall theme of this season is that this is season 41.5 is what it feels like. It seems like they're really leaning into the fact that they need to repeat everything. And I don't have a problem with 41 trying new things. That's fine. I never will have a problem with them trying something new and it failing. But don't do it again. And it's there's got to be at least someone that works at CBS that's all right, that did not work, that these things were not good, right? After they maybe were good in theory, but now watching the season and editing the season, we know they're not good. I feel like there have to be smarter than that to realize what's good and what's bad before it premieres, because they knew that Russell was going to be the biggest figurehead of Survivor ever in 19, and they put him on 20 before 19 even came out. They're as soon as 19's on, they're he's going to be on this next season. Not even editing it together, they knew it. So I think they do have good reads and understand how things are going to be taken for the most part. They could be wrong. But, I feel especially the Hourglass one, it's really just think about it. What is the benefit of not smashing that hourglass? Tell me. I don't get it. I feel like somebody should have clued into that, but they're keeping everything, it looks like. So, and the idols thing, I don't like that either.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll get something different, because I think a huge part of it also was, I don't think anybody on Luvu knew that Nasir had an idol necessarily. It never clued us in, because none of them knew what was going on. None of them knew. The only reason why Shan and Ricard knew is because their entire tribe got decimated and they knew all the information.
Yeah.
The reason why everybody on Yasei knew is because nobody for some reason, nobody would ever trust Xander, so they just all told each other everything, and the girls all hated him. So if maybe if the information could be more tightly sealed, maybe we can see it coming to fruition where less people know about it. It also seemed like information was so free-flowing last season, and I hate when that happens. It seems to happen a little bit here in Australian Survivor too. It's so much more interesting when things are left a secret, and then we can have a big moment because of it. I'd rather have a big moment be because of a secret than a big moment because everybody knew everything. Because then it's more predictable. You know what I mean?
100%. Yeah, I think.
Especially with idols.
Yeah. To the benefit of the game, the more secrets there are, the better it's going to be overall. And the more, like you said, free-flowing the information is, the less, like, actual blindsides from both the cast and the audience you're going to see. I mean, the blindsides that we saw in the merge of 41... they were only blindsides because it was kind of just bad gameplay. It wasn't like, yo, that was such a good move. They like really blindsided her. No, like they just took out these people in like a bad order. Like, I don't understand why they needed to take out Nasir, why they needed to take out Tiffany. To an extent, I can understand why they needed to take out Evie at that time, but there were definitely bigger players at hand that should have gone earlier if you had a better mind for the game.
I think so. They all just had different perceptions about what was going on, clearly.
Yeah. So
I mean, it's just one of those things where it's just like, if somebody has an idol that nobody knows about and then there's a plan to get them out, it's like, oh my god, they can play an idol but nobody would know, it's going to be the best moment ever, and that's the best buildup you can ever have with an idol. And mm-hmm. you just don't get that when everybody knows what it is. And it's not even the fault of the players. It's the fault of the idol itself, and you have to basically reveal that you have it. So once again, hidden immunity idol is very much in quotation marks when you look at these two seasons here.
Yeah.
I also – but like the main thing I hate about it actually, like sure – you know, people know about it, but hey, at least you have an idol, right? The thing that really sucks is losing your vote until everybody else finds it. That is so stupid. I remember that was like the thing I was so pissed about when I was on Reddit last season. It's like, dude, so Xander could realistically never get his vote back. Because we're like, what if one of the tribes just doesn't find it? It's like, does Xander never get his vote back? And they're like, oh, well, maybe production will like stipulate it so he gets it back at the merge. I'm like, even still, that's so stupid. That is like, how, that's the most, like, the problem is people who search for idols are people who are on the bottom, right? So if you're on the bottom, you don't have much sway in the game. And if you can't vote, and also you can't use the idol till everybody gets it, right? If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so
I believe so. Yeah, it's not activated until everybody else has it. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're on the bottom, you don't get a vote and you don't get the idol. So you just got even less power than the limited amount of power that you have, which is like,
you're
really
just
that doesn't
on the beach.
Yeah, that just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't see how that works at all. Also, it being a beware advantage, who's not going to take it? I am very hard pressed to find a reason for why you wouldn't ever take an advantage on Survivor.
Yeah,
seriously.
I mean, for
unless you're a multiple time player and you are in the power spot, which is hard to be in the beginning of the game. Unlike in terms of like tribes, you can always take an advantage. You're never really truly in power till the merge.
For us, like having seen 41, knowing what a beware advantage would lead to, personally, I would just like try and build favor with like somebody that I need to build favor with on my tribe and give them the beware advantage and be like, hey, look at this, open it, lose your vote. But I wouldn't open it myself because I know what that's going to come. For these people on 42,
yeah,
they don't know it because they haven't seen 41. So there's going to be a lot of people just up and losing their votes out of the random, and I'm not, that's an, like, I just don't like the factor of like, the vote is the strongest, like that is your voice in the game and your strongest piece of like political power. And if you are going to be losing that due to an advantage, that the only way that you are going to be able to get the advantage and like get the idol essentially is by other people on different tribes finding their idols, that's a big stretch. And it's a reason why Xander didn't have his vote until what, like the last vote before merge. Like it didn't matter.
Luckily he didn't need it again.
Yeah,
but like you hear him say it, he's like, oh, beware advantage. I'm going to open it. I'm on Survivor. Why would I not? This is what I'm here for. Yeah, no shit. That's exactly what you're here for. What I am afraid of is I think it's going to set a scary precedent where it's like, okay, like you did it on two seasons where people didn't understand what it meant. If they keep it, like 43, people are like, oh, let's just not open advantages. I guess in a way it could make sense where they could put as many advantages as they want in, but people won't take them. So the saturation of advantages isn't over the top where like people of the fans of the show will complain about it. So I guess in an ideal world that makes sense, right? But if you find an advantage, it shouldn't be on you to make the season good for viewers to watch. You should exactly. have an advantage. Like if you're in the game, like just speaking as like a game player and someone who enjoys playing games, whatever it be, and just strategy, you in the game should not have to worry about the show or making it a good show or being entertaining. You're there to play and win the game, right? So first and foremost, you should not be getting screwed over at the expense of the show. Obviously, I get it. That's what happens. It's reality TV, and that's what it is at the end of the day. It's a show. So I get why it happens. I just think it sucks, and I think that they haven't always done that, and when they have to force it, it really sucks. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, that's a little far down the road. We got to wait till season 43 comes out to really know about that. But I don't know, man. It's scary stuff. We'll see what happens. And it's also one of those things where it's like, all right, so pretty much everything they introduced was a failure last season. I can't really think of anything that was – a success that they added, really. I'm trying to think. I can't really think of anything that was a success.
Yeah, I mean, if they had, like, if they had done the Shipwheel Island stuff in moderation and not literally every episode, maybe that would have been a good benefit. But that's the only thing that's, like, a minor plus, a little bit.
But the thing is, like, none of those extra votes mattered.
Exactly.
None of them mattered.
Either they
nothing
weren't,
that
they,
nothing
they
that anybody
played.
Got, yeah, nothing that anybody got all season ever mattered.
Yeah, either the extra vote wasn't played, or it was just played wrongly and poorly, or maybe that's just down to the level of strategy that the people had.
The extra votes, all the idols, the knowledge is power advantage. Yep. Knowledge is power advantage. What else am I missing? What else am I missing? Whatever they were doing at with Brad, Sydney, and Tiffany, that never really amounted to anything. What else am I missing? Oh, the shot in the dark didn't matter. Now, the shot in the dark, I will say, I do have some faith that that could be something good. Idols, when they first got in, introduced in the game, didn't really get their like full didn't start getting their full payday till seasons later. So I think we need some time on the shot in the dark.
Idols were introduced in what, season 11?
It was the idol that we know now was introduced in Fiji,
yeah, 14. So it was like two or three seasons after it was introduced as a whole, until it's now been like the precedent idol that we now know as, you know, going forward. And that's going on 15 years now. So yeah, like you said, for all we know, the shot in the dark, like I do like that aspect of like how cool would it be if it were to actually work. That would be another really cool thing for 42. If 42 has a shot in the dark that actually works, it blows 41 out of the water. What do you think they could change it Like, how do you think they could change it to make it better?
I don't know. I think, I think the odds might be a little too low to actually have it hit for it to be worth it. What is it?
Maybe one in six?
One
in four. Yeah, it's like one in six. Maybe like one in four would be better.
Yeah, because like you're giving up your vote in the game, and if that's like a last ditch effort, I don't know. It's tough. I want to see more of it. So I want to see more of it in action to really have, like gauge on how I feel about it, because all it did is just screw Sydney out of the game. If she didn't use it, she would have been in the game. So all it did was not its intended action, which is unfortunate, but I will give it the benefit of the doubt. That's the one thing that they added that I think has the potential to be something really cool. But
oh, what was that twist with Deshaun? When he could have gone.
Oh, home. The Monty Hall problem. Yeah, that was stupid too.
That was also dumb. Don't bring that back.
What was the point of, because like if he wins it, it's like, okay, nothing changed. Like it was either, like I don't really see how. Also, they did it wrong because in the Monty Hall problem, you are given three doors. You choose. You have door A, door B, and door C. Behind two doors, there's a goat. Behind one door, there's a stack of cash. You choose door A. The host opens door C and reveals that there's a goat behind it. And then he offers you the choice to switch to door B or to stick with choice A. Technically, the correct choice is to switch to door B because you have a higher chance now. It's now a 50-50 as opposed to a 33% chance that you had before. So your odds are higher when you switch. So technically speaking, if you understood what the Montel problem was, which clearly Deshaun didn't, you're supposed to switch there. But obviously it worked out for him, which means that production set it up wrong because they should have done it the other way because that's the way it should have been. But, I mean, I guess you never know. You don't know which one he's going to pick. I get it. But, like, the whole idea of the Monty Hall problem is the switch afterwards, and he didn't switch. So, I don't know. It felt like kind of a letdown. Felt like kind of pointless. Liana went home anyway. So, you know.
Yeah,
I guess it did save him. He got to the final three.
Yeah,
which is pretty crazy. That gave him longevity because he was safe then because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Overall, that's
just a lot of flubs. A lot of flubs this season. They created too many of these philosophical questions like that in the prisoner's dilemma. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need that anymore. I'm playing Survivor. Like, I get it. Like, you could do it one time. It's funny if it's a dilemma one time. It's not a dilemma if everybody knows what's going to happen and you keep doing it. It's not a dilemma anymore because you could just plan around it.
Exactly. Yeah. Overall, I'm just hoping that, you know, 42 has a lot more to offer in terms of gameplay. And that's all that we can really hope for in these seasons of Survivor. So, yeah. I think that's a good episode. Good two-person episode there.
Yeah, man. I'm excited to watch this episode tonight. And obviously, we'll be texting about it and seeing that inevitably my pick of Lindsay will be going home first. And and then we'll be back to square one for our predictions next week.
I will say, for Jonathan, as long as he doesn't go to tribal first, I think he's good to stay for a while. But if he does go to tribal first, I could easily see.
I can't imagine they would vote him off first. I can't imagine that. And he seems to get a lot of preseason content, too. So I think he's going to go to the merge, at least.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Anyways. Yeah,
we'll see.
Thank you guys for checking out this episode of the Survivor Ready podcast. If you guys don't know, don't forget to follow us on social media at Survivors Ready Pod on TikTok and Instagram. And at Survivors Ready RDY Pod on Twitter. New episodes go up every single Thursday, both on the YouTube channel for this video format and on pretty much any podcast service that you have, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, whatever, like literally look it up and it should be there. And yeah, I think that's it.
All right. See you later.
Bye. See you next week. Later.
Yeah, see you next week.